In the name of the Lord Jesus, we thank you for the privilege to fellowship around the written word and to fellowship with one another. And our Father, we ask that as we look into the word now, every eye is open to see, every ear is open to hear. There is no confusion in any heart, but we enjoy the fullness of light, revelation, and insight in all of this house. In the name of Jesus, Father, I will thank you for the fullness of revelation in every heart today. In the name of Jesus. We thank you for we know it's done, for in Jesus' name we've prayed. Amen. So you can take a seat. Acts chapter 17. Hallelujah. Reading from verse 26. Acts 17:26. Okay. Says, and he has made from one every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth. Okay. And has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings. Do you understand what this means now? Okay. So that. Do you get it? So he did all of this so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might group for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. Do you understand what this means as well? Okay. Thank you very much. For him we live and move and have our being. As also some of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. Okay, so that means that God is actively involved in the life of the men that he created, right? He doesn't abandon anyone, right? He did not choose the Jews above the Gentiles. He did not choose the Jews to the exclusion of the Gentiles. Rather, the Jews were chosen for the very purpose of making him known to the Gentile nations. We've seen all of this, right? So he did everything he could within his power to ensure that each nation came to know him. Hallelujah. You know, and you know, we said that this is the love of God in display, that he doesn't want any man to perish, but that all should come to the knowledge of the truth. Then in the last teaching, or the last session rather, we began to look into what we call the suffering servant passages, right? Isaiah 42 to 53, which speak of the Ebed Yahweh, who is that one that will carry out God's plan on the earth while suffering. And we said that that was supposed to be Israel, but because Israel failed in that task, that responsibility was then changed or redressed or redirected to Jesus. Actually, not really redirected, because Jesus is also an Israelite. Amen. You know, if God chose Israel to fill up all of the earth with his glory, Jesus had to come as an Israelite. Do you get it now? Okay, so that he can rightfully and legally carry out that task. You see the wisdom of God? Amen. In salvation. You know, so, and we said, we looked through all those passages as well. Then we also saw in Isaiah God's concern for the nations and how he spoke ahead of time that of the work that he would do in order to save all the nations of the earth. Remember the wealth of the Gentiles? Do you get it now? Okay, that is not speaking at all of money coming to Christians. Amen. Okay, if a Christian wants to be rich, what should he do? Should Christians want to be rich? Say, no, Jesus is my wealth. I don't need money, Pastor. Jesus is my wealth. Should Christian want to have good money?
Yes.
I mean, well, depending on you. There's some people are fine just living okay, you know. But some people want to be extremely wealthy, you know. Depending on you. Amen. You know, so, you know, if you are that one who wants to be extremely wealthy, that just means you put in more effort, right? Where others work for 5 hours, you now put in 10 hours. Amen. Oh, you don't want the money anymore. Hallelujah. You know, and all of that. So money doesn't come to a Christian in a supernatural way than it does to unbeliever. Okay, everyone who needs money must work. All right, now God can bless the work of the Christian, right? But he must work. Do you get it now? Okay, and we saw that the wealth of the Gentiles is their salvation. How that the Gentiles come with all that they possess to the church of the living God. Okay? That is the wealth of the Gentiles. Not money, Well, money is involved, but money is not the primary focus, right? Is the men, then what they own, now coming together to build and nourish the church of God. Then I misquoted the text before I close. I said Genesis 66:18. It's actually Isaiah 66:18. Sorry about that. Please, in such cases, when you go there and you say, ah, Kilele, you are not seeing what I'm saying. Wait, I won't be angry, okay? Let me know so that I don't make an error. You know, we are all human, amen? And all of this is God showing you that your pastor is a human just like you. Okay, and interestingly, my note here is Isaiah. I'm looking at it now. It's Isaiah 66:18. So I don't know how come I saw Genesis there. Sorry about that, okay? So please just change that in your notes. It's Isaiah 66:18. Okay, so now let's read it. Please turn your Bible there before we move on to what we have for today. Isaiah 66:18. For I know their works and their thoughts. It shall be that I will gather all nations. Okay, is that what you are reading now? Okay, thank you very much. And tongues, and they shall come and see my glory. Hallelujah. I will set a sign among them, and those among them who escape, I will send to the nations, to Tarshish. I said Tarshish is Spain. Please write that down. Pool and Lud, that is Northern Africa. Okay, or North Africa. Pool and Lud, today. Who draw the bow? And Tubal. Tubal is East Asia Minor. M-I-N-O-R. East Asia Minor. And Javan is Greece. Okay? You see several nations now. Different places. Okay, to the coastlands afar off, who have not heard my fame. Or we can say, who have not heard my gospel, right? Right? Or who have not come to the knowledge of the truth, nor seen my glory. So God speaks ahead of time of sending missionaries to the nations. Okay, to the Gentile nations. And they shall declare my glory. That is the missionaries, right? That he has sent. They will now declare his glory among the Gentiles. Now this is preaching. Okay, then they shall bring all your brethren. Now all your brethren will be those who have heard and believed. Okay, they are now called all brothers in Christ. Do you see that now? So this speaks ahead of the salvation and the inclusion of the nations into the family of God. Hallelujah. Okay, for an offering to the Lord out of all nations, on horses and in chariots and in leaders, on mules and on camels. Now God is not so much interested in what they own as much as them. Okay? To my holy mountain, Jerusalem, says the Lord, as the children of Israel bring an offering in a clean vessel into the house of the Lord, and I also take some of them for priests and Levites, says the Lord. Okay? So out of the Gentile nations will now be a kingdom of priests, right? And Gentiles. You know, Jews are also included in this, right? Okay, so God's plan, Exodus 19:6, will now come to pass in the church of Christ. God will now have a kingdom of priests. Now remember what priests do. Do you remember? Priests reconcile sinful men back to God. The Kohen in the Hebrew, K-O-H-H-E-N. Okay, he reconciles or brings back or mediates between sinful men and God. Okay, so not only are men saved, men now become missionaries. Do you see that? Come on, do you see that? Okay, that is God's plan in his church. So you see, it's a domino effect, right, of missions. One is saved, right, is brought to the church, is trained, then he also now goes out to save others, and it continues like that and like that and like that and like that. Do you see that now? Okay, so God's plan for his church has always been to bring all ethnicities together, right, into his church, and then those ethnicities now become his missionaries to the nations of the earth. Okay, so we've said that God never abandoned any ethnic group, right? Remember, I've told you that there's just one human race, but within that human race, there were different ethnic groups. You get it now? Different tribes, different clans, different languages, different skin colors, diversity within the same human race. Do you get it? They are all homo sapiens. They are all humans. Do you get it? But within that classification, we now have varieties. Do you get it now? Okay, thank you very much. And we said that God has never put one variety above the other. God cares for everyone the same way. You know, we said that don't dismiss those who were alive before the gospel came to Nigeria the gospel came to Nigeria actually through colonialism. Okay? Don't dismiss those who were alive before that time. Now, there has been records of the gospel coming to Africa before then. Do you get it? But one of Nigeria's main contact with the gospel came through colonialism. Okay, so I told you that. What about those then who, in quote, never heard the gospel? Have you thought about that before? You know, when it comes to children, and I'm running ahead of myself because I'll still say this in another teaching, and I've also said this already in another teaching. When it comes to children and the mentally insane, you know, they cannot be held accountable. You know, I've explained this to you before. They cannot be held accountable because, you know, you can't say, but pastor, children never heard the gospel. What about children that die? Or the mad, someone who is born mad. He probably is born with a mental illness right from birth. And he never hears or believes the gospel. So what about them? Those ones cannot be held accountable because for judgment, accountability is required. Okay, you need to know right from wrong. A child doesn't. The mentally insane don't. That's why in law, there are two parts of a crime, the mens rea and the actus rea. The mens rea, or the actus rea rather, is the act. The mens rea is the mind. Do you get it? Or the thought. So the law teaches you that don't just focus on the actus rea, also focus or try to ascertain the mens rea. This person committed a crime, we have agreed. But what was his state of mind? Can his state of mind be held accountable? Okay, for the crime that he committed. That's why you now see some lawyers now saying things like, my lord, he was insane. Say, lawyers are liars. Say, my lord, at the time of the crime, he was insane, because an insane person cannot be held accountable. So once I can prove that my client was insane when he killed the woman, he will go scot-free. He will be, there's a term we use, discharged by reason of insanity, right? Yes, that's it. You will say it has been discharged by reason of insanity. You say, God will never forgive lawyers. Lawyers are evil people. What? We still make our cool cash like that? Amen. Hallelujah. You know, you just look at the facts of the case and deduce. You say, what did he do after he killed the woman? He started shouting. He said, how can somebody be shouting after he killed the woman? My lord, that means his state of mind was not, these lawyers. Hallelujah. So you know, and all of that. Once the mind is absent, that person cannot be held accountable. Do you get it? So that's what happens for children and the mentally insane. But then you now say, but what about the ones who are not children and mentally insane, who never heard the gospel? You know, actually, I would make this argument that you can't say there is anyone who hasn't heard the gospel. From what we see in scripture, you can't say that. Do you see how much God did to ensure everyone heard? Right from Genesis. Come on. Yes. So you can't say there's anyone who actually hasn't heard the gospel. God will use any means. Right? He will send missionaries. He picked Abraham and his family. Do you know, since the beginning of the world, the Jews have been here, making Yahweh known. So there's no way you can say you didn't hear. Do you get it? Even for those who claim that we're still far away, he then uses nature. Amen. Okay, he puts things in nature that point to him so that you can grope for him in your darkness. I mean, that is a God that wants all men saved. That's why I find the doctrine of election very, very ridiculous. The doctrine of election, have you heard it before? Election of grace. That God picks certain people to be saved is ridiculous. How will a God who is doing all of this want just few people to be saved? He does not make any, it's very, very, you know, is quite ridiculous. And those people who teach those things are people who don't really understand God's counsel in scripture. Say, God, right from the beginning of time, God picked certain people who will be saved and certain people who will be unsaved. So those people that God picked who will be unsaved, no matter how much you preach to them, they will never be saved. I mean. And you say that same God now put things in nature so that everyone can find him. Do you see that? How can he do that and then don't want some to be saved? Does that make any sense? Why would he choose the Jews and then put them right in the center of the nations? obviously he wants all men saved. So that teaching actually it cherry picks the scriptures. That's what I say about the election of grace. It cherry picks the scriptures. It just finds certain texts here, certain texts that they go to Ephesians 1, just look at one text that seems to further their beliefs. But when looked at in the entirety of scripture, such concept does not exist. Amen. God wants the world, right? We've seen that. I mean, by now you should know that very well. He wants the world, every man everywhere, right? Every ethnicity, every clan, okay? He wants all of them together. So we looked at all of that in Isaiah. We saw that, and it was very clear. And God also promises that all the ethnicities of the world, we saw that in Isaiah, will be brought together in the sacrifice of Jesus, right? In the church of Christ. So he brings together. We've said that Christ's church is multi-ethnic, right? Can we say multi-tribal? Is there any word like that? I'm not sure. Multi-tribal. Okay, several tribes coming together in the same place. Okay, that is Christ's church. If there's no word like that, I make it a word today. Amen. Multi-tribal, okay? No, several tribes come together. Can I even say multi-clanal? Amen. Several clans coming together, okay? In Christ's church. That has always been God's plan, right? And we've seen that in Isaiah. Amen. So in this particular session, as we begin a round of this particular series, I trust God will end it today. We're now going to look at other prophets as well as the Psalms. You know, we saw Isaiah, right? Now we're going to look at other prophets as well as the Psalms to see what they say concerning this. Okay? God's concern for the nations, for the purpose of salvation. Hallelujah. Now you would observe that the prophets are clear about a message to the nations. Okay? Every ethnic group is included in the prophets. Let's begin with Ezekiel. Hallelujah. Ezekiel 36:22-23. Remember, we've said that God chose the Jews, right? And he wanted them to be that tool of his to fill all of the earth with his knowledge, right? And to let all ethnic groups come to know him. But Israel was a bad witness. Look at Ezekiel 36:22. It says, "Therefore, say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, I do not do this for your sake, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake, which you have profaned." Do you see that? So they were bad examples, bad witnesses among the nations, the same nations that they were supposed to preach to. Do you see that? They now profaned his name there. They made his name unholy in the sight of those nations. Wherever you went, and I will sanctify my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in their midst, and the nations shall know that I am the Lord. Hallelujah. Says the Lord, when I am hallowed in you before their eyes. So because of Israel's disobedience, God's name was profaned among the nations. So what does God do? God now promises to repair his damaged reputation amongst them. Okay? He promises to repair his damaged reputation amongst the nations. You see that he repeats the same thing in Ezekiel 38:23. Ezekiel 38:23. It says, "Thus I will magnify myself and sanctify myself." Please underline all of that. Magnify myself, sanctify myself, and I will be known in the eyes of many nations. Hallelujah. Then they shall know that I am the Lord. Is this him repairing his damaged reputation before them? Yes. You see as well in Ezekiel 39:7. Ezekiel 39:7. "So I will make my holy name known in the midst of my people Israel, and I will not let them profane my holy name anymore. Then the nations shall know that I am the Lord, the Holy One in Israel." So he does this so that all the nations can know him. Do you see that? So in Ezekiel, we find that God promises ahead of time that he would repair his damaged reputation amongst the nations. Okay, through that work that he will do, all the nations of the world will now come to know him for who he really is. Hallelujah. Are you here so far? Then now moving on to Amos. Amos Look at Amos 9:11-12. Amos 9:11-12. I'll wait for you. Are you there now? Okay. It says, on that day I will raise up the tabernacle, that is the house, okay, of David, which has fallen down. We explained this, right? Do you know how this will happen? Remember the root and the branch that will come out of David? Okay, thank you very much. Which has fallen, and repair its damages. I will raise up its ruins and rebuild it as in the days of old. This will happen through the Messiah, through the promised seed, okay? That they may possess the remnant of Edom and all the Gentiles who are called by my name, says the Lord who does this thing. So when God rebuilds David's house through his Messiah, even the Gentiles will now become his possession. Do you see that? It says all the Gentiles who are called by what? My name. Hallelujah. So the Gentiles will now become his possession. And you see the same thing in Micah. Please turn your Bible there. Micah 4:1-5. What does Micah have to say concerning the nations? Micah 4:1-5. It says, now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and peoples, underline that, shall flow to it. Peoples shall flow to it. Now I told you peoples refer to what? Any nation that is not Jewish. Okay? So anytime you see peoples in your Bible, most times it refers to any nation that is not Jewish. So you now see non-Jewish nations flowing to the house of the Lord. Do you see that now? Okay, can we call that their salvation? Yes. You know, flow speaks of a large number. Right? Right? Have you seen water flowing towards a place? You know, that speaks of multitudes, right? Hallelujah. And look at 2, it says many nations. You get it now? They will now flow, shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways. Now, all of this was supposed to be for Israel. Okay, but now, it now applies to what? The church. Do you get it? Okay, he will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion, the law shall go forth. Can we say out of the church? The Zion of God, right? Which is the church of the living God, right? Okay. Shall go forth, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem, the heavenly Jerusalem, right? Hebrews 12, which is the church of God. He shall judge between many peoples. Do you see that? And rebuke strong nations afar off. He shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. We were here earlier on, right? That means the nations will no longer fight. There will now be peace. Racism will end, right? Within Zion, within Jerusalem. What is that? The church of Jesus. But everyone shall sit under his vine and under his fig tree. These are images of peace. Okay? Images of peace. And no one shall make them afraid. Do you see that? For the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken. For all people, do you see that? All people walk each in the name of his God. But we, can we say in the house, in the Lord's house, okay, we'll walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever. Hallelujah. Okay, so we now find in the Lord's house men who now walk after the Lord, right? Remember, there were nations that flowed to that house. Then within that house, they will now give up idolatry to serve the living God. Amen. So you see, ahead of time, God actually promised that one day Shungo worshippers will serve him. Do you see that? You said, you know, if his plan is for everyone, you know, the Shungo worshipper is included. So don't exclude them. Amen? Don't exclude them. You know, I used to tell you that sometimes when we go out on outreach, some people act like some people are not worthy of the gospel. You know, imagine you're going on outreach and you see a Shungo worshipper walking behind you. So people just, they forget they're on outreach. They just do like this. But yeah, look away. No. Amen? You know, the gospel is for everyone. Are you here? Okay, the Shungo worshipper is included in that as well. Okay, so that means we should have more outreaches to rural areas, don't you think so? We should have more outreaches to rural areas. We should go to where idol worshippers are plenty and preach the gospel to them. Maybe what will just happen there is that you will now be my translators. Amen. I'll be Moses, you'll be Aaron in the land of Egypt. Because Eve is Yoruba. Ah, oh God. The person is here? Kilenzo. Because my Yoruba is blessed. Amen. And look at Zechariah 2 verse 11. Let's look at what Zechariah has to say concerning the nations. Zechariah 2 verse 11. Hallelujah. I wait for you. Zechariah 2:11. Are you there now? Okay, it says, many nations, you can underline that, shall be joined to the Lord in that day. Hallelujah. And they shall become my people, underline that, become my people, and I will dwell in your midst. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. Do you see that? Okay, so several nations will be joined to the Lord. Is that salvation? He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. 1 Corinthians 6:17. Okay, that speaks of their salvation. You see the same thing, Zechariah 8:20. It says, thus says the Lord of hosts, people shall yet come, inhabitants of many cities. The inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, let us continue to go and pray before the Lord and seek the Lord of hosts. I myself will go also. Do you see that? So they will now come. Do you see? There will now be a desire in their hearts for the Lord. Hallelujah. It says, yes, many peoples and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem and to pray before the Lord. Look at Zechariah 9 verse 10. Zechariah 9 verse 10. It says, I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the horse from Jerusalem. The battle bow shall be cut off. It shall speak peace to the nations. Hallelujah. Do you see that? That is, wars we end. Okay? His dominion shall be from sea to sea and from the river, that's Euphrates. Okay? When you see the river, have you seen that before in your Old Testament reading? The river, that's Euphrates, okay? To the ends of the earth, okay? So everywhere, we can say God's message is international. Do you get it? So don't limit your gospel to where you are. Are you following what I'm saying here? Remember, God's message is what? International, right? It is multi-ethnic, right? Multi-tribal. So he wants men everywhere. So does this mean that we should also be thinking of other nations, not only Nigerians, when it comes to the gospel? Should we also be thinking of other African nations around us? Ghana, huh? Somalia, right? America, right? Europe. Okay, is it a universal work? Okay, everywhere. It says, from the river to the ends of the earth, everywhere. Are you seeing this now? Look at chapter 14, Zechariah 16 to 19. Zechariah 14, 16 to 19. And shall come to pass that everyone who is left of all the nations, underline that, the nations which came against Jerusalem, shall go up from here to here to worship the king. Do you see that? So the nations will now go to worship the Lord of hosts and to keep the feast of tabernacles. And it shall be that whichever of the families of the earth do not come to Jerusalem. Now, Jerusalem, the people, or the church. Remember, whatever applied to Israel, because Israel failed, has now been what? Redirected. Do you get it? So that will help you whenever you read the Old Testament prophecies. Just understand that because Israel failed in their task, God has redirected his prophecy. Okay, to Christ and Christ's church. So when you see Jerusalem here, just think the church. When you see the king, just think Jesus. Do you get it now? Thank you very much. The Lord of hosts on them, there will be no rain. Okay? If the family of Egypt will not come and enter in, they shall have no rain. They shall receive the plague with which the Lord strikes the nations who do not come to keep the feast of tabernacles. This shall be the punishment of Egypt and the punishment of all the nations that do not come up to keep the feast of tabernacles. So can we say the unbelieving nations will be destroyed? Is this by God or by their unbelief? Okay, thank you very much. Now, let's move on to Jeremiah quickly. Jeremiah. Now, you observe that of all the prophets, Jeremiah particularly is called a prophet to the nations. A prophet to the nations. Have you seen that before? Look at Jeremiah 1 verse 5. Jeremiah 1 verse 5. I'll wait for you to get there. Are you there now? Okay. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Now, oh God. I laugh because I just remember the kind of teachings that people have. Now you smile too. Okay, everyone is smiling, so it's not just me. Have you seen some people come here? Said, before the Lord knew me, he formed me. Right? And I was born, right? Before I was born, he was sanctified me and ordained me to be a prophet to the nations. So you now see someone in Ibadan. Say, I'm a prophet to the nations. Amen? And what is he using? Jeremiah 1:5. You know, if the book is Jeremiah, then you will be who? Huh? What is the title of the book you're reading? Jeremiah 1:5, right? So, before I formed you, who will be you? Jeremiah. Amen? Okay, thank you. Did you get that? Okay, thank you very much. So I formed, let me help you. Before I formed Jeremiah, amen, in the womb, I knew him. Do you get it? Before Jeremiah was born, I sanctified him. I ordained him a prophet to the nations. Now, whenever you see God talk about in the womb or before he was born, that's a figure of speech to mean that that fellow did not do anything for that election. Okay? For that choice. You know, one who is born can do something to earn God's choosing. But when God says, I choose you from the womb, that means you did nothing for me to choose you. Do you get it? Okay, thank you. So, now he says, I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Now, the nations will be what? Any other nation which is not what? Jewish. Do you get it? Do you get it? Now, are the Jews also included here? Yes. But primarily non-Jewish nations. Okay, so this shows that Jeremiah's message supersedes Israel. Okay, it goes beyond the Jews alone. And we see that throughout his book. You see that throughout the book of Jeremiah, God reaches out to several non-Jewish nations through him. For example, you see that Jeremiah 46 speaks to Egypt. Jeremiah 46 speaks to Egypt. 47 speaks to the Philistines. The Philistines. 48 speaks to Moab or the Moabites. 49 speaks to Ammon and Edom. Ammon spelled A-M-M-O-N, Edom E-D-O-M. That is 49. Ammon and Edom. And 50 to 51 speaks to Babylon. Do you see that? So God makes it clear that he wants all nations of the earth, regardless of their ethnicities or color. Do you see that now? And that's why he picks his prophet and then he sends his prophet to those nations. Hallelujah. You see, and Jeremiah says this as well. Look at Jeremiah 16 verse 19. Jeremiah 16 verse 19. It says, O Lord, my strength and my fortress, my refuge in the day of affliction, the Gentiles shall come to you. Do you see that? From the ends of the earth. So he understood the universal work of God. Can we say that? He understood the international work of God. Can we say that? Okay, the Gentiles shall come to you from the ends of the earth and say, surely our fathers have inherited lies, worthlessness, and unprofitable things. Hallelujah. Do you see that? So, he now speaks of the Gentiles from the ends of the earth, now saying what? They now see the error in idolatry. Do you see that? They now come to worship Yahweh. Amen. And Jeremiah preached so that those nations could escape judgment. Okay? He preached so that those nations could escape judgment. And because of Jeremiah's message, God now says that he would restore those nations. Okay? He would restore those nations. Look at Jeremiah 48, 47. Jeremiah 48, 47. It says, yet I will bring back the captives of Moab in the latter days, says the Lord. Thus far is the judgment of Moab. So you see here, it says, I will restore the Moabites. Do you see that? Through the preaching of Jeremiah. In the next chapter, that's Jeremiah 49, it says it will restore the Ammonites. Let's look at it. Jeremiah 49 verse 6. But afterward, I'll bring back the captives of the people of Ammon. Do you see that? Says the Lord. So, when God's Messiah reigns, all the nations of the earth will now be restored. Do you see that? Do you see that now? Look at Jeremiah 3:17. Jeremiah 3:17. It says, at that time, Jerusalem shall be called the throne of the Lord. Jerusalem, the people, the place, or the church. Huh? The church, thank you. And all the nations shall be gathered to it, to the name of the Lord, to Jerusalem. No more shall they follow the dictates of their evil heart. Hallelujah. So they will no longer be sinners, right? They will now come to the Lord. See the same thing, Jeremiah 33 verse 9. Now all of this speak of when the Messiah begins to rule. Okay, Jeremiah 3 verse 17, where we just looked at, it speaks of when the Messiah begins to rule, okay, over the nations. Now we'll speak of what is death, burial, resurrection, and what? Exaltation. Do you get it? Okay, look at Jeremiah 33 verse 9. Jeremiah 33 verse 9. Then it shall be to me a name of joy, a praise, and an honor before all nations of the earth. Underline that. You see, God is always speaking of what? All nations. Do you see that? Okay, who shall hear all the good that I do to them? They shall fear and tremble for all the goodness and all the prosperity that I provide for it. Do you see that? So all the nations will now hear the goodness of God and what? Fear and tremble. Now, fear and trembling is Hebraism. Okay, is Hebraism. H-E-B-R-A-I-S-M. It is a figure of speech known to the Jews. Okay, it's a Jewish way of speaking. Fear and trembling simply means reverence. Okay? Not being afraid. You can say reverence. Can we say faith? Yes. Okay? So again, we see that God's plan is universal. You see that? He loves every tribe, even those who persecuted Israel. You see that here? It says, even they will now hear and fear and tremble. That is, they will now reverence God. You see that? So he does everything possible to bring everyone everywhere to himself. You see that now? So the prophets reveal an impartial God. He doesn't discriminate between Jew and Gentile, right? Everyone is equal in his eyes, in his sight, and he treats all of them the same way. He finds means to ensure that each and every one of them come to the knowledge of the truth, which is salvation. Is that clear? Okay, so now let's move on quickly to the Psalms. You find that the Psalms say the same thing, that God is concerned for all ethnic groups, all tribes, all nations, all clans of the world. You find that in the Psalms. Now, you observe that when you read Psalm 2, the first mention of the nations is negative in the Psalms. Now, remember, the nations are what? Non-Jews, thank you. So the first mention of the nations in the Psalms is negative. Let's look at it. Look at Psalm 2 verse 1. Psalm 2 verse 1. It says, why do the nations rage? Do you see that? The very first mention. Okay? And the people, remember, the people will be what? Non-Jews. Okay? Plot a vain thing. So you see, they are doing evil. The kings of the earth, do you see that? That will be kings of Gentile nations, set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. That word anointed is Messiah. Okay, the Messiah. The Messiah, or you can say the Christ. The Greek will say Christ. The Hebrew will say Messiah. It's the same word, okay? It means anointed. So, it speaks of what? The Lord and his anointed. Now, what do you see? The nations of the earth are in rebellion, right? Against the Lord and his Christ. Have you seen that so far? Have you seen that so far? Okay. Saying, let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords. So, they are presented as rebellious against God and his Messiah. However, this is going to change in the Psalms. As you proceed, you see that this is going to change. Their rebellion does not hinder God from loving them. Are you here? Their rebellion does not stop God from being concerned for them. You find that throughout the Psalms, God, through his psalmist, now sends invites to those nations to come. Remember, in Psalm 2, they are rebellious, right? God, throughout the Psalms, through his psalmist, now sends invites to them. He sends messengers, we can say, to them to tell them to come. In the Psalms, God speaks about the Gentile nations 175 times. Do you see that? 175 times in the Psalms alone, nations, or God was lethargic about them. Can we say God was disinterested about the nations? Was he lethargic about them? Did he give an I don't care attitude? Did he always go after them? Yes! I mean, 175 times in the Psalms alone. That shows great concern, we can say, right? For the nations. Now, let's see a few of those portions in the Psalms which talks about the nations. Look at Psalm 22 verse 7. As we begin to close now. Psalm 22 verse 7. Hallelujah. It says, all the ends of the world shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations shall worship before him. Do you see that? So it speaks of a time when the ends of the earth, the families, can we say the tribes, the clans, right, of the nations shall worship him. So remember in Psalm 2, they are rebellious, right? Then later on, we now see them worshiping. Is that faith? Is that them coming back to him? Yes. Hallelujah. Look at Psalm 46 verse 10. Psalm 46 verse 10. It says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted where? In the earth. Do you see that? Everywhere. So God will not be exalted even among those nations. Do you see this? Look at Psalm 66 verse 4. Psalm 66 verse 4. Hallelujah. It says, all the earth shall worship you. Is that, does that include the Jew and the non-Jew? Okay. And sing praises to you. They shall sing praises to your name. Selah. Look at Psalm 67 verse 1. Psalm 67 verse 1. God be merciful to us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us. Selah. Now why? Look at verse 2. That your way may be known on earth. Do you see? That's the point. Remember, Israel was blessed for what? The purpose of the nations. May be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Then look at verse 7 of the same chapter. God shall bless us, and what? All the ends of the earth shall what? Fear him. Can we say when they see? Okay, they will now what? Fear him. Was that the point all along of Israel, right? Yeah. Now, you also find Psalms which instruct Israel to make Yahweh known to the nations. Okay? Psalms that instruct Israel to make Yahweh known to the nations. Look at Psalm 9 verse 11. Psalm 9 verse 11. As we begin to close now. It says, sing praises to the Lord who dwells in Zion. It says, declare his deeds among who? The people. That will be what? Remember, Gentiles. So he says to them, what? Declare is this among. So, you know, this is quite interesting. They are singing praises to the Lord, okay? Right? And they are declaring is this among the people. Like I told you, that means that their songs were not to have a good time. Do you see that? Praise worship was never to have a good time. Let's just be dancing. Praise worship was meant to be evangelistic. Come on. Come on. So does that mean that if we are doing praise worship well, an unbeliever in the audience can be saved? Yes. So in our songs, we contain what? The message of salvation. That's why I'm taking my time with praise worship. Okay? For now, I'm taking my time. Because I want you to understand it very well. So that you don't do rubbish. Amen. I want you, because some people think that what praise worship is let us just rejoice in the presence of our God and just be dancing. You know, Mama Jijo. You are unserious. Okay? Praise worship is to teach. You know, what I'm doing now is supposed to be praise worship in music. So praise worship will now be what I'm doing now with music. So so that means if praise worship is done well, the unsaved will be saved and the saved will be edified. Do you get it? Okay, so I will take my time with that very well, so that you will do it well. Amen. Amen. Those people who are not in this church wonder, what does it mean by that? Take his time. Psalm 105 verse 1. Amen. Psalm 105 verse 1. It says, oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name. Now why? Make known his deeds well amongst the peoples. Do you see that? So the giving thanks will what? Make him known. It's about him, not you. Do you get it? Praise worship is not about us at all. Okay, I tell that to people who call themselves praise worship ministers. And then they think that all that it's been, now it doesn't have a local church. It's jumping from meeting to meeting, program to program. Say, I'm a praise worship minister. It doesn't have a local church that is committed. It doesn't have a pastor. Say, my job in the body of Christ is just to be singing. So he says, I need to train my voice. That's all he's concerned about. As long as it's fine. He thinks that's what praise worship is. Just be singing well. Let me run away from this. So you see, giving thanks to what? Make him known. Do you get it? So it's not about you at all. It's to what? Make Yahweh known. Okay? I remember, like we've seen, God chose Israel for the nations, not above the nations. Israel were called to be God's active, not passive, okay? Active evangelists to the nations. They were not to be passive. Remember, we looked at this in the first part of this teaching, that their role or their task was to be centrifugal. You remember that? Not centripetal. They were now proud and thought that the nations will come to them. But actually, the nations will come to you because you've gone to them. And it's the same thing that happens today in the local church. You know, we go out to the unsaved, right? Then we now bring them to church. Or we go out to meet men, minister to them. Then we now bring them to church. It's first centrifugal, right? Then centripetal. Do you get it? That was supposed to be Israel's task. They were to go out and actively witness to the nations. Look at Psalm 119:46. Psalm 119:46. It says, I will speak of your testimonies also before kings. Do you see that? And will not be ashamed. Was this God's plan for Israel? Yes! Same with Psalm 96:1. Psalm 96:1. I don't know why I'm just saying things that have to do with praise worship in all this text. There's a lot saying something. Psalm 96:1. Because, you know, it's not about you. Okay? Just make that note. So that means it can even be boring to you. It's fine. You are not supposed to be the one to enjoy it. It's not about you. Amen? Okay? Look at Psalm 96:1. It says, oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Now, through the singing, right? You see, through the singing, you see there's a colon. A semicolon, right? Now, the translators put that there, but it's fine. We allow it. Why? Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Proclaim the good news of what? His salvation from day to day. Why were they singing? For this purpose. It's not for you. Do you get it? Praise worship is not for you to have a good time. No. It's for him. It says, declare his glory, verse 3, among the nations, his wonders among all the peoples. Do you see that? So even their songs are to contain lyrics that preach. Do you see that? Do you see that now? Okay, you see that the Psalms also describe the nations in the Messiah's rule. That is, when the Messiah is exalted, what will happen to the nations? The Psalm also talk about that. Now you find out that in the Psalms, there are some Psalms that are known as enthronement Psalms. Enthronement Psalms. When God enthrones his Messiah. Okay, you see that those are Psalms 47, 93, 96, 97, and 99. Those are the enthronement Psalms. You know, we saw imprecatory Psalms, right? Do you still remember them? Remember that teaching? Okay, now here we now have enthronement Psalms, okay? Psalm 47, 93, 96, 97, and 99. Okay? So, what happens to the nations when the Lord's Messiah begins to rule? When the Lord's Messiah begins to reign? Now, the Psalms tell us. Okay? Look at Psalm 72, verse 9. Psalm 72, verse 9. You now begin to see the nations coming together, just like we saw in the prophets, okay, to the worship of God, to the worship of the Messiah. Look at Psalm 72, verse 9 to 11. Or pardon me, 8 to 11. Psalm 72, 8 to 11. It says, now that's the Messiah. Okay, the one who is now enthroned. Do you get it? The enthroned one shall have dominion also from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. Do you see that? So, his reign will now fill everywhere. Do you see that? Okay, those who dwell in the wilderness will bow before him. Hallelujah. And his enemies will lick the dust. That speaks of worship. Okay, that's a figure of speech for worship. The kings of Tarshish and of the Isles will bring presents. You see, even Ethan kings will now come. The kings of Sheba and Seba will offer gifts. Yes, all kings shall fall down before him. All nations shall serve him. Do you see that? So when the Lord's Messiah is enthroned, the nations of the world will now be given to his worship. Hallelujah. You find something similar in Psalm 102 verse 12. Psalm 102 verse 12. Reading down to 22. It's quite a long read. So let's begin. Psalm 102, 12 to 22. It says, "But you, O Lord, shall endure forever, and the remembrance of your name to all generations. You will arise and have mercy on Zion, for the time to favor are, yes, the set time has come. For your servants have take pleasure in our stones, and show favor to our doors." Now look at 15. "So the nations," you see that again, "shall fear the name of the Lord, and all the kings of the earth your glory." Do you see that? "For the Lord shall build up Zion. He shall appear in his glory. He shall regard the prayer of the destitute and shall not despise their prayer." Verse 18. This will be reading for the generation to come, that the people yet to be created may praise the Lord. That is a new creation. Do you see that? Okay. "For he looked down from the height of his sanctuary. From heaven the Lord viewed the earth, to hear the groaning of the prisoner, to release those appointed to death." Hallelujah. "To declare the name of the Lord in Zion, and his praise in Jerusalem, when the peoples are gathered together, and the kingdoms what? Serve the Lord." Hallelujah. So the nations will then come in reverential awe and worship to serve God's Messiah. Okay? The nations will come in reverential awe to serve God's Messiah. All this would happen when the Messiah is exalted. You know, this is a fulfillment of God's promise or God's covenant with Abraham. Do you see that now? Genesis 12, 1 to 6. Look at Psalm 47, 8 to 9. Psalm 47, 8 to 9. It says, "God reigns over the nations. God sits on his holy throne. The princes of the people have gathered together. The people of what? The God of Abraham." Do you see that now? So they are now gathered together because of what? That promise that was what? Made to Abraham. That what? In his seed, all the peoples will be blessed. They are now called the people of the God of Abraham. Do you get it now? Because it was through that promise or through that covenant made with Abraham that they have now gathered together. Hallelujah. Okay? "For the shields of the earth belong to God. He is greatly exalted." So as God reigns through his Messiah, all the nations of the earth will now come to enjoy the blessings of Abraham. God's covenant will now be fulfilled. Hallelujah. Did you learn? Okay, so we'll continue from here in the next session. Lift your hands and give God.